Welcome to At Work in America. You are here with Trish Steed today. Steve Bowes has the day off, so you're going to just hear me and my expert guest that I have on board, Mr. Fred Goff. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Trish. Great to be here.
Well, for anyone who's not familiar with you, which they should be because you've been on live with us before, I know you're very well known as an expert in the industry of talent and HR and recruitment. But before we do that, I want to just take a minute and talk about what we're going to discuss today and give a little brief bio of you, if that's okay.
Sure.
In today's show, we are going to be talking about harnessing the power of AI to revolutionize your job search process for both the job seekers as well as the employers. We're also going to touch on the state of recruitment marketing a little bit and what to expect in the years ahead with that. I think you're the perfect person to guide us through this, Fred. Obviously, you are very experienced. You have been the co-founder and CEO of JobCase, and you've emerged as a leading voice in our industry on all of the issues around the future of work, such as the AI impact on labor. Again, I know I've heard you talk about that before, and for anybody that's missed the live that we did with you a couple months ago, we're going to really do a deep dive, especially on that. You have been characterized as amplifying the voice of the worker, which I love, right? As someone who's been in HR and recruitment for a long time, I know that the advocacy piece of what JobCase and you and the team there do really helps bring to the forefront people who might not have a voice currently in the community. And prior to your career as a consumer internet entrepreneur, you enjoyed a successful career on Wall Street. You're originally from Toledo, Ohio, and is a first-generation college grad, congratulations, holding a Bachelor of Science in Economics and a Master's in Public Policy and Management from Carnegie Mellon University, and a Master's of Management in Technology from MIT. You welcome all outreach that might help empower job casers to achieve their better tomorrow. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Trish. I don't often hear a bio. I love that my team got Toledo in there. So hello to anybody from Toledo out there.
Right? Like, I feel like, I don't know about you, but I love like when bios are personal, because you feel like, I think also the part about being a first generation college grad, your family has to be so proud.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm proud of them too. I think that, you know, we hire a really incredible team here at JobCase. And I never believe you have to be a first generation college grad or even a college grad to really understand the population we serve, which is very much, you know, about 85% of our members do not have a college degree. People often call us the working class LinkedIn. That's kind of who we are. But it does help to walk that path a little bit, I think, where you kind of come and understand that whether you have a degree or not really doesn't make as big a difference as our society sometimes seems to think it does. I'm proud of people with a degree and proud of people without a degree.
I'm glad you share that, because I think that when I'm the same way, I first in my family to go off to college and get a degree. But my first job was actually with Manpower, running an industrial, predominantly industrial temp office. And so working predominantly with people who did not have that same background was really helpful, like at a young age, because then you have an appreciation for how you do need both types of employees, right? It both brings such a different wealth of information and experience, I think, to a workplace.
I think so. But I do think we probably came up in our generation in a world where it was a bit of snobbery around degrees and a lot of blocked access. And, you know, we're amongst the voices advocating for skills-based hiring and other things, because degrees tend to block a whole bunch of groups that wasn't the intention. But I think that the world is going to accelerate that. I mean, I'm sitting here in Boston right now, and BU just announced their next year tuition is over $90,000 a year.
I heard that.
So at some point, it just becomes prohibitive. So I think the acceleration of breaking down barriers that, you know, these superfluous requirements, I think core economics are going to start to help us break that down. So it's all good.
Well, you know what? I mean, before we get too much into that, because I definitely want to dive in there, yeah. Could you tell, maybe for anyone who's not familiar, overarching, what JobCase does, who you are? I know the mission is immensely important to everyone there at JobCase.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, in a nutshell, Jobcase is an MI ML empowered, artificial intelligence powered social platform dedicated to empowering workers. We've grown to being the third largest online destination for career services, according to Comscore and others. And if you go to jobcase.com, you'll see, as I mentioned earlier, why the press calls us working class LinkedIn. Our whole sense of empowerment is about really distilling it down to helping people figure out and achieve that next step. And it used to be prior to the LLM kind of breakthrough in Q4 of 2022 that it was dominantly about the community itself helping figure out and achieve. And increasingly, now we have artificial intelligence helping our members figure out, but you still need the community of other people to help you achieve it, right? So that it's a powerful 1-2 punch of artificial intelligence and community to empower people. And then the only other thing to let your listeners know about or viewers is Jobcase Inc. has two parts. There's everything I just described, but the technology that we use to power our own websites, we license to others. So, for example, wherever you're sitting in America today, go to your newspaper. And if you look close, you'll see that either how you're powering, say, Chicago Tribune or Seattle Times or Cape Cod Times, if you're looking to hire somebody, it'll say powered by Jobcase. If you're looking for a job, it'll say powered by Jobcase. So, our technology powers employer solutions and job search for nonprofits, governments, for profits like newspapers. And so, we have both sides, like how we serve our members. And the concept is the more place that we can power where our members are, the more we can serve them, the more data to aggregate so that we can be more relevant for them.
Thank you for describing sort of those two different buckets, if you will, because I think that, before we started recording, we were talking about AI in general, right? It's something that you don't always know who's been involved in artificial intelligence for a number of years. Some people still think it's a little bit on the newer side. But I sort of feel like that's being aware of Jobcase. Like you're saying, people are probably already interacting with Jobcase and might not even know it, right? It's sort of right under their nose, if you will.
Yeah, I think that, we grew up kind of Intel Inside, if you will. So we've been a very large provider of talent, but historically it was through a lot of other branded names that you might know better. And it was only about 4 or 5 years ago that we really came out as our own brand in a very definitive way, and it's been kind of escalating since then. So yeah, we've been there. And to your point about AI, I mean, I left managing money on Wall Street to start an artificial intelligence-based hedge fund back in 2004, and that worked really well until it didn't. So we're a company that knows the power of AI, we knows the limitations of AI, but we came into this space back in even precursor to 2015. But Jobcase launched in 2015, and since launch and even beforehand, we've been a affiliate of MIT's Computer Science Artificial Intelligence Lab. And so that AI and machine learning techniques are just core to everything we've done always for anybody we've served, our members or our clients. But later in this talk, we'll get to, I do think there was a massive inflection point in Q4 2022 when OpenAI launched ChatGPT 3.5. And since then, this is it's a different world.
Yeah, I agree. I think if nothing else, for anyone who might not have been aware of how artificial intelligence, machine learning, and all of those aspects were impacting both your personal and professional lives before November of 2022, certainly after that point, right? It's all over television, it's all over, everywhere you look, right? Podcasts and things you read. So I want to go back for a second. You mentioned that it was about 5 years ago where you really started to kind of want Jobcase as a brand, right, to be more noticed. Did that coincide with the pandemic at all, or was that more because workers were struggling and needed, I don't know, more insight from
No, it just had to do more with our own trajectory. We had more resources, more ability of leaning into brand, but the mission and the launch towards that was in 2015 when we launched. So we and I think it's actually interesting. At the point that we launched, I found ourselves to be kind of a lonely voice in the for-profit world advocating for workers. There was plenty of allies of ours in the nonprofit world. I mean, whether it's Byron at Opportunity at Work, whether it's Maria Flynn at JFF, even think tanks like Joel Fuller over at Harvard. But in the for-profit world, we found ourselves to be a bit more of a lonely voice in advocating for workers. And what we had seen then is that they really needed it, that the future of work was going to be very much characterized by anxiety about the future increasing. And our thought was that if you lean into it, a lot of the trends that can be very daunting can be extremely empowering. But where do you find that information? And even if you do organize the structure of the information and reduce the drudgery of the friction about navigating through, you still need other people to help you, right? The killer app underneath is you need someone to say, don't give up. I've been there too, because so many people have stories underneath, whether it's a prior court involvement or whether they have restricted shifts because they're caring for a family member at home or et cetera. And so it's that powerful 1-2 punch of trying to organize and bring helpful information and also other people that can help you walk the walk and talk the talk.
I think that that's so important to have both those elements, right? Because maybe before a job case was around, when I think back to even being younger myself, looking for jobs, it felt very much, you felt alone. There was no sense of community. It was difficult too, I think, networking, right? I started out of college and had a job for, oh gosh, 10 years before I really had to like get out there. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm a mom, young mom, and there's no way to network. So what I do love, I love that it's that combination though, where you have a community of people. Could you maybe share a little bit about that? You know, if I am a job seeker and maybe I do have a little bit of a record, right? Sometimes people don't know where to go. They don't know where they can go to even talk about getting hired, what they would be able to do. And I think they limit themselves. That becomes the barrier. How does the community through JobCase help them feel like they're part of something bigger and that they do have opportunity?
Yeah, I think there's probably two dimensions that we could probably have a breakout session for hours talking about. The first dimension is just kind of better information, right? So it is an example if, and this is just an example, I don't know the specificities, but if, for example, Home Depot were to declare that they were going to hire people with a prior court conviction or prior felony conviction, and by the way, 22 million Americans with a prior felony conviction, and you're not supposed to, this country, have a permanent vocational penalty for the rest of your life if you've served
right.
your time. So let's say a national brand has said that they will hire. The reality of life is that doesn't mean your local manager is going to hire, right? So there's an informal network that, how do you navigate that? That's one place where the community helps each other, where they can say, no, this company's better than this one, or that one in Natick hires, not in Framingham, if you're in the Boston area, whatever.
Right.
But there's another dimension that we mentioned, which is just empathy. It's the don't give up and see it. I think that I'm very fortunate that I grew up in a family, you know, we weren't economically rich by any means, but we were family rich, right? I had parents who told me I can do anything and brothers that supported me and et cetera. And sadly, there's a tremendous amount of Americans that don't have that kind of support structure. And so having people have JobCase where somebody else can say, don't give up. That happened to me too. You know, try this. When there's so many isms people run into, ageism and sexism and racism and all sorts of problems, that little thing makes a difference. I think we might have talked before. I get all these letters that line up here. I'm so appreciative of JobCase dropping a line. And they're never saying, thank you, Fred, or thank you, JobCase. They're always saying, thank you, I found this other person on the platform who supported me, right? And that's what's really kind of powerful. But I would also say what we found is that's powerful in these kind of green shoots of our community, but putting artificial intelligence coaching behind it is like turbo thrusters. And that's what's happening with JobCase in the last year.
That's amazing. Can you talk a little bit about specifically, I know that, you know, we're kind of high level about artificial intelligence. How is that actually embedded into the platform so that it does enable those connections and maybe like supercharge them, like you said?
Yeah, so I'll answer that question by maybe providing a kind of a map to graft onto. When we think of what happened in Q4 24 with this kind of seismic event that I think was just the culmination of decades in the last 100 years or so, as we get compute power moving forward, what was really seminal about that moment, what I hope anybody that is listening to this internalizes, is the old proverb that the best time to plant a tree 20 years ago, the next best time today. You should not be scared about moving forward on AI. It's unstoppable, but it's also, if harnessed well, going to be really powerful for you. We think that fundamentally, you know, there's a fellow named Nicholas Negroponte who formed the Media Lab at MIT in the 90s. And his view is what I think is coming to fruition. And he had said in a conversation I had when I was lucky enough to be at MIT, he had said that the breakthroughs that we had seen were going to be nothing like the breakthroughs we will see. And this is like in 1999 or something. And he said that so far, computer power and et cetera had only been able to be harnessed by people who understood binary, understood languages that stood on top of binary, that it was like this very thin layer. Said at the point that computers can speak to humans instead of humans learning how to speak to computers, he said, then we're going to unleash a kind of productivity and kind of exponential growth for our species that we've never seen. That's what I think happened in Q4 of 2022. Computers have started to understand how to speak to humans. You don't have to program to program. You can write a prompt, and anyone can prompt engineer. And so this is now not something that happens in the corner. This is, should be something that happens at every part of your organization. So when we think about, when you ask the question, where do you put it into the product? Well, first, you got to start with your team. So I think there's three dimensions that people should think of. One is your own culture, your own processes, your own organization, and it's got to be prolific. You've got to change your performance reviews to include this. You've got to change your L&D to include it. It's got to be in the culture that you encourage people and you celebrate it. Like you can't just say, oh, somebody down the hall can help you. It's got to be, you know, part of it. The next one is it's okay to do linear improvements. I think in our space, Trish, having job descriptions read automatically, having resumes reviewed automatically, having skills inferred automatically. There's all sorts of very kind of pedantic line of sight evolution that a couple of years ago would have been a couple of year project to try to untangle ontologies of skills from one company to another. Now you have a translation machine that can do it in like a month. All of that is kind of what I would think is more linear adjustments. And we've got all of those. What I find more interesting, though, is the disruptive ones, where you go to the core of the problem and say, how can we think about the problem differently? And if we think about the job matching and career progression of workers with employers, you want to break down this world that we're currently in. I mean, people don't talk with what wear boxes, right? Like, that's just how we evolve. What they want to do is say, I want a job close to home that pays me at least $20 an hour, and I got to be home by 4 because of my mom or something, right? Find a job on that, right? And I don't need just a job. I need a career. I need to get better. I wish I would have gone into nursing. How do I do that? And et cetera. So our investment has been on the consumer side at rethinking how we create agents that aren't just skins on top of ChatGPT or Anthropic, but actually informed by the decade of data where we've been the scale of the third largest in the country. Informed by the depth of information we have about people, informed by unique models we've got from observing community and job clicks that we've been seeing, so that it's got this depth underneath it, but it's got a sentient interface that allows people to be very natural. And then from that, we can help them career path. On the other side, that gives us such depth of information that when we look at employers and trying to serve them, get them really strong candidates and strong employees. It allows us to focus on quality in ways that weren't possible before at the scale that we now can. And we think of quality, of course, you want someone that's close proximity to where you want them to work, unless it's at home. But there's intent fit and match fit, right? And so the intent fit is really key, especially when you get to folks that don't have advanced college degrees, right? So a software engineer is only going to do so much, but when we staff people at a warehouse, they might come from all sorts of walks of life. So it really matters, what do they care about? What do they want to do? That, as well as the match fit, which is the required or supportive skills, and how you can infer those either from skills and et cetera. It just gives us a depth of ability of solving quality issues for the way our employers talk about it that also help our members. I mean, they don't want to apply to a job where they get automatically declined for. And so I think that that's what I would say people should look at, is one is get it across the culture of your whole organization. Two, it's okay to do just linear things like job promotion stuff, but really rethink the core problem and think how this technology can approach it differently, such as different modalities. Talk to a coach instead of enter a what where.
I love all those. I'm like making notes frantically for myself too. I feel like I learn something every time we talk. So I know that the audience is as well. One of the things that just really I wrote down specifically is talk about like thinking about the problem differently. And I think that sometimes, especially if you've been in a culture, a certain org culture for a long time, you do get a little bit of groupthink, even if you're a creative person, right? And so I use ChatGPT like this now. It's like you almost can ask it questions that you were afraid to ask anyone else, right? That might sound stupid or, right, unintelligent, or why did they ask that, right? So in a way, not only is it empowering employees in new ways because of the depth of information it can pull from, I think it also, I don't know, I almost think of it like that quiet assistant that's always there and never thinks that anything you ask is too ridiculous, right? You can ask any question and you can refine how you do it. It kind of leads me to my question for you, which is I think back to working in HR and something like social media when that was sort of new, right? We felt like, oh, HR needs to be experts in social media if we're going to understand how to use it for business. And what we learned is that you really need to reach out and find out who in your company is already leaning in hard on that particular skill. Do you think that whether it's AI more generally or generative AI more specifically, are we missing maybe experts that are like under our own noses with our employees that we currently have that could be helping us maybe get better at it if we're
That's
not well
interesting. I
versed?
mean, I think you definitely are in this sense. I think that different companies are having different approaches to Gen AI. And I think where fears run amongst about it, you have tighter rules. And I guarantee you, companies have really tight rules. Say, I know of one I'm thinking of right now that says nobody's allowed to use it. And I know amongst their best employees are using it prolifically, right? So yes, I think it's possible, but here's what I think is probably the salient point. I think I would wish that all HR groups understood and act, which is this is an ability to leapfrog. This is not like other technologies. This is not something that is prohibitive to access. This is not something that's difficult to understand and leverage. This is extremely accessible. You can go to Udemy, Udacity, Khan Academy, just take a prompt engineering course this weekend. You can do one in a weekend and it will help you understand. You can write programs, you can do Excel, you can answer questions. It's a simple a course to help you understand that. And here's why that's so important. You know, David Autor is I think we think of a lot of similar things. He's an MIT professor that's been studying wealth inequalities and things of this nature among workers. And he made a lot of news in the last week because he's come out with this punchline quote where he says AI, if used well, can assist with restoring the middle skill and middle class heart of the US labor market.
Wow.
And historically, people have rightly or wrongly ascribed to David that he thinks technology is hurting the middle class or whatever. And he's pointing out, no, this is different because you can access this and you can leapfrog your potential to be productive. And this is what JobCase is striving to do for our members, not just our employees, and what all of our listeners can do for themselves. If you're intimidated by this, you're going to lean back. And I ascribe to the concept that AI won't replace your job, but somebody who's harnessing AI will. But here's the thing,
I
it's
like
not hard.
that.
Don't let artificial intelligence scare you. It's not this, it's as simple as now they speak our language. It used to be hard. I used to have to learn Python or SQL or right now it's easy. You can just talk to it and good things come out. So lean in, and those hidden people that you're talking about can be the person themselves with just like a weekend of work.
And see, that's what I'm getting at, because I think that we sometimes think, oh, it has to be someone with these multiple degrees or a certain job
Not
experience.
anymore.
It's not, right? This
Not
we all
anymore.
have access on our phones, and almost everybody has a phone, regardless of what your background is, your socioeconomic status, right? Everybody's got phones, and they can learn this too. And I would say, gosh, I mean, when you're thinking about job descriptions or future positions you're trying to fill, to me, this seems like the easiest way to really get that skills focus,
Yeah,
right?
that's and
Have
then
it in
here's
your
the
life.
beauty, Trish. Like,
Yeah.
so if you have somebody who's spending their days doing that, now you can take the linear off. Now they can spend their time thinking about a more disruptive thing that they can do, right? Let's get the menial task off. It's done. We've solved that, and you can harness this. So now we can unlock more creativity and more impact. So that's kind of the point. Like, to me, it's not dissimilar to, you know, when it's a totally different scale, but when you had NetSuite come out, like in the whatever 70s, 80s, et cetera,
Yeah.
people might have thought that displaced CFOs. But what is a CFO today? A CFO today is doing dev, he's doing M&A, or she is doing M&A. It unleashed a lot of increased compensation power for that person. We can do that across the whole economy now. And so that's really what JobCase is on. And if we're successful with our mission, we're going to help empower workers. But every JobCaser who you hire, whoever the person is listening to this, is going to bring a culture in of being not intimidated by technology, trying to harness it for what? For the growth of the company that hires them. So we think it's not just good for the members, but good for our clients who hire our members as well.
I love that. I think just democratizing that skill set, right? Instead of sort of pigeonholing people into what you think they can or can't do and bring to your organization. I think for many years, organizations have missed out on hiring really good workers who are adept and might, you know what I always found? I don't know if you found this in your career as well. I'm assuming yes, but I was always shocked when I was younger when you'd find people that are maybe doing something outside of work. Maybe they're really into gardening, or maybe they're a deacon at their church, or do bookkeeping for some little side business, right? They're an Avon lady, whatever. But people go out and naturally build skills that don't fall under their job description. And then I feel like as the company, we're missing out on all those skills. We haven't had a way to harness more the totality of the individual. Do you think that like the way we're looking at skills now and employees now and candidates now, is that better because of we're sort of looking at them more holistically?
You know, it
Are
strikes
we
me as
not
I
there
listen to
yet?
you. No, well, yeah, it's going to be kind of Tale of Two Cities here, is what I'm thinking as I hear you. On one side, I feel like you were in the room when we formed JobCase in 2015. We literally were talking about this,
I
that
needed that. That's what I wanted.
yeah, that there is plenty of people. I remember our example was like the stay-at-home mom that was coming back to work, and there's so much bias against her resume, but if she was like running the coffee clutch at church every Sunday, we're like, oh my God,
Yes, right?
management, organizational, political skills, like
Yes.
how do you surface that? So hallelujah to what you're saying. And with skills, with new Gen AI approaches, even impediment skills, people can harness this technology and jump over very quickly. That said, I will share with you kind of a state of American workforce right now versus like pre-pandemic. So in 2019, like we were a lot of us in the skills-based hiring, let's remove barriers, let's empower workers. We're very excited when the Business Roundtable had 168 CEOs say they were going to navigate their companies by stakeholder capitalism, not shareholder primacy, which included treating workers better and et cetera. We thought that was great. We were a little skeptical whether it would land, but we wanted to be allies to help them land that. Right after that, we had the tragedy, and sometimes progress happens after tragedies, of George Floyd's murder, and a lot of focus on DEI and a lot of funding. And it doesn't take a genius to draw the line between skills-based hiring, eliminating some friction for people of color that have been blocked out from the labor force before for lack of getting FAFSA, for lack of getting degrees. So there was a tremendous movement towards advocating for skills-based hiring. And I believe that similar to what you're talking about, C-level enterprise is on board. They get it, right? There's a tremendous amount of them. Governors are on board. They've been scrubbing superfluous requirements. But we're in the ground game, and I'm telling you, the NIMBY problem is not solved, right? The same hiring manager that is cheering on and so proud of Brian Moynihan when he does things for the whole enterprise of Bank of America is still looking for the UMass or Dartmouth grad, not looking for somebody without requirements, waiting for somebody else to hire them without a degree. So I think that we've won the mind share in the executive suites. Certainly the nonprofits and advocacy for workers like JobCase are working the ground game, but the hiring managers in between need better support systems. They need to be rewarded for doing this because right now they have asymmetric risk. They got to jump on board, but they probably don't have it included in their performance reviews. Did you expand your workforce for diversity? Did you expand your workforce, including for degree diversity? So until we rebalance risk rewards and incentives and performance measurement for the hiring managers, they are going to continue being an impediment. Not because they're not great people, they're great people, but we have to fix the rest of the system so that their good intentions land well. And so I think that's where we're at. So progress, to be sure, but we still got the last mile to solve.
I'm glad we have the progress at the C-suite because that will, over time, it may take a long time though, trickle down to those hiring managers. But right now, I think hiring managers in general, I mean, for good or for bad, you like the status quo. There's no reason to shake things up, right? Because you're shaking things up and you may not have the control you currently do. So working in HR,
It
that's why
almost might be
all of
opposite,
us.
right? If you're the hiring manager that just has put a bill for 200 grand to get your kid going through a college degree, you want it to be worth something. So I think that's it's tough to get change, but you can see it coming. And I do think the C-suite can change it right away. They can change it right away by changing performance review policies and incentive structures, right? That people react to incentive structures. So they could, if they follow it through with incentive structures, it could change a lot faster.
And that's really an HR impact too, because you're then seen as the expert. You're the one guiding the company through that process of incenting people differently. I know way back when I was in professional services, though, we were talking about that. You know, this I'm talking about like late 90s, right? And talking about we knew then that managers will not behave differently if we don't give them compensation differently based on wanting what we want them to do.
That's right.
And yet here we are almost 30 years later talking about the same thing. So
Same thing. But you got to start with, I think it's what's
I know.
helpful is to say, look, let's assume good intentions. Let's assume good actions, right? We're not, and I think that's also, we see that across the board. We don't need to assume some late 70s construct of union management. Like, it doesn't have to be adversarial, it can be advocacy. We've seen union management. I grew up in Toledo, as you mentioned at the top of this conversation, and there was times next to Detroit you could see it working really, really well for the company. So I think if you assume that good, then you say, okay, what in the system is stopping this from moving forward? This isn't a bad actor issue. This is something systematically, and that is a very empowering thought because you can move it. And now, on top of being able to move those behaviors, anything that historically was still a little problematic for, but how do we accelerate contribution skills or whatever. Honestly, this new AI-driven world and how fast it can launch you ahead to achieve things without having to sit in a classroom for 2 or 3 years is incredibly empowering. Thus, the David Autor point that this can be really restore the middle class because you don't need to go sit in a classroom for 4 years and have $300,000 of debt in order to accelerate. That's what's so exciting about this.
I love that. And I love that you're tying that together. I think too, just to mention that, you know, when you're talking about the sort of being the blue collar LinkedIn, it's to me, it's there are so many people. I know you have, you know, kids of college age, I do, Steve does as well. And it opens your eyes, I think, to all of the other careers. I'm saying even college age, like I just said that. Like, yeah, they're college age, but they're also trade school age, and they're also maybe the people that need to go out in the world. So see, even there, just in normal conversation, it's so ingrained here.
Yep.
I guess my question for you is this, right? I'm a leader, I'm sitting out there, I want to be more open in my hiring. I want to have my eyes opened, right? I want to get rid of that language that's just embedded in the way that we think that is normal. What are some ways that I can partner with JobCase now and kind of get that started in my organization so that I'm making an impact on changing that process? What can I be doing?
I appreciate it. Well, we can start on the ground game. We are the third largest online destination. We provide, hundreds of thousands of job applicants every single month, every week, probably, to employers around the nation. We have 60, 70,000 small and medium-sized businesses with our partnerships with newspapers and such. And we have almost every enterprise through agencies or direct. So if we're not working together, we should, because we've got the workers. We're where the workers are. And that can be as simple as job promotion and providing candidates to your feeds that have the benefits of what we've been working on for the last 6 to 9 months on quality, proximity, fullness of resume, intent fit, match fit, so that it increases the efficiency of your own operations. That's just kind of ground game line of sight. In addition to that, we have, some of our closer partnerships will have real estate within the JobCase community. We call hubs, And that allows to get your brand out. And that's not just for prospective candidates, for your current employees. We have over 120 million members. I guarantee your employees are on JobCase too.
Sure.
And so getting that word out is also there as well. And then beyond that, we have some pretty interesting things around disrupting and accelerating what you can do in your HR department with regard to AI coming down the pike. But today it's pretty simple. You should be in the community in the hubs, and that's dirt simple with we do everything for you. And you should be hiring our members. Our members are awesome people. 15% have college degrees, 85% don't, but all of them are very empathetic, supporting of each other. I mean, who wouldn't want this kind of person on their team, right? They're helping each other, proactive. They're open to new technologies to move forward. Like these are great people, and it would be awesome if they could help your company grow as well.
I love that. So everyone, please reach out to Fred. Fred, where can people find you? Where is the best
So
place if they want to learn more or connect with you personally?
I guess jobcase.com/hire, that's where the team's got set up, where you can kind of just say, hey, I'm interested. Feel free to reach out to me directly, either on jobcase.com or on LinkedIn, Fred Goff, GOFF. I guess I'm probably the only one from Toledo in this space, maybe. I don't know. Maybe there's another one. And would love to meet more
Cornered the
people.
market in
And
Toledo.
yeah, exactly. And I was so excited, Trish, I'll tell you, when I found out we had great partners like Gannett and McClatchy and Lee and newspapers. But I will confess, it was kind of cool when we got the Toledo Blade, because I grew up reading that. That was kind of fun to see.
I love that.
And the other thing I'd say is we are big advocates at the macro level on how you can treat workers better in general. And in particular, see ourselves as some of the emissaries, given our CSEL relationship and others, of helping organizations understand how to harness AI and things we didn't get into, you know, how to avoid, you know, bias gaps, how to do it the right way to empower. And so we can just have a conversation about that. I'm happy to help anybody who's advocating for their own workforce are friends of ours.
Good. Well, we'll have to have you back on because I mean our time flies by, right? So we can jump in and cover all those in more depth next time. But thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate your time. I know all of our listeners do as well. Please, like he said, reach out to him on LinkedIn or on jobcase.com. Definitely be looking at your own way that you're hiring. If you're demanding that someone have a college degree, give it a second look. You might not need that. There might be other skills that are equivalent or even superior to having that college degree. People can prove their worth and their intellectual capacity and their physical capacity to do great work in many other ways. I know, for example, I was talking to my daughter recently, and you know, she's a sophomore in college, and I said it's really not even about what degree you get. It's just showing that you can start something and complete it, right? And there are so many other ways in the world to show that as well, right? Demonstrating your work with a prior company can certainly be equivalent to having gone to college. So if you're an employee currently, or you are someone who's looking for work, also connect with JobCase and get into the community today. So
Well,
Fred, thank
amen
you
to that,
so much.
Trish. Thank you. And don't be afraid of Gen AI either. Run through that door.
Thank you. See, you can help them with all these things. So anyway, thanks again.
Yes.
Please join us for all our other episodes. You can find them on hrhappyhour.net. We're also on YouTube, LinkedIn, X, you name it, we're everywhere. So please check out all the show archives. Final shout out to Steve. We're so glad that you are able to get a moment off today, but we know we'll have Steve back on the next conversation for sure. I know he's got lots of questions too. So thanks again, everyone.
Thank you.